Dandelion Seeds, Part 1, by Joel Christman. Hello, unknown listener. I am sure you are filled with curiosity about the outside universe, and I get the feeling that you would be more inclined to believe me if I were to indulge you. My name is Jarlies, and I might be the last of my kind. First, you should probably know something about my species, if we can be called such. I am what was called a parahuman, an artificial mixture of my ancestral homeworld's single naturally evolved sapient race and the genetic material of one or more of the other non-sapient species on said world. The first generation of parahumans were created by humans, the natural sapient species, as deep space labor. Their governments afforded certain rights and protections to humans, but not to creatures that were quite clearly not human. So, some corporations found a loophole. They experimented with thousands of unique mixtures of human and animal genes and printed out the viable ones, and sent them out to the asteroids to bring back minerals. However, the early parahumans shared the human strive for independence, and soon the time came for them to rebel and claim the asteroid belt for their own. The parahumans, having no experience with self-governance, experimented with different forms of government, reasoning that with sufficient experimentation, they'd be able to discern which ones worked out best and all would come to adopt the greatest government. But, as the humans had discovered years ago, it is very subjective which government is better, and many parahumans could not bring themselves to agree on many ideas. And like humans, when parahumans disagreed on something strongly enough, there was the urge to settle the argument through violence. The first major organized conflict between governments came from the feudal anarchy of Vesta and the Republic of Pallas. The Vestans believed that we should bioprint exact replicas of ourselves, with public safety and welfare entrusted to particular sets of replicas who had proven their ability and devotion to the cause. Whereas the Palline released the genetic lots the humans placed on our natural reproductive systems that combined genes from two parahumans to create a new one. Vesta saw Pallas as a threat to long-term stability and attempted to destroy them with nuclear explosives. Pallas retaliated in kind. They had been fighting for two Earth orbits when I was born to a Palline couple. My mother was spliced with genes from what was called a cheetah, while my father had coyote genetic material. All of us second-generation kids were bizarre mixes like that. Both habitats lost half their populations in that war. When it was realized how easily they could wipe each other out, the two agreed to an alternative plan. They would instead devote their industries and destructive capabilities to designing and building ships that could plant colonies of their people on worlds around distant stars. Whoever colonized the most stars first won, I guess. Pallas decided that, since even the fastest ship would take decades to reach any other star, they would train their children to crew the ships. Even the Grand Mayor herself sent their son and daughter into the program. I entered training when I was 7. I was barely half the size I am now. We were constantly tested to determine where to assign us. Drilled on every possible emergency procedure they could imagine. Trained to calculate orbital mechanics in our heads without mechanical assistance. At the age of 10, I was introduced to the rest of the crew I would serve with. Tony, the bear/tiger assigned to engineering. Rachel, a rabbit mouse and our pilot. And then Stuart, the musteline biologist. And myself, the Chiyote communications tech. We would carry a payload comprising all the equipment to build a self-sufficient colony on a distant planet. Hydroponic beds, prefabbed shelters, mining drones, omni-printers to make whatever non-living items or structures we needed, and bioprinters to make food and the colonists themselves. There were thousands of gamete samples preserved in cryogenic storage in the hold. We could mix them up however we wished for maximum genetic diversity and print them into a new colonist who would be rapid trained like the corporations used to do to our parents. But as soon as the colony was sustainable, we would allow the colonists to breed naturally. We were expected to pair up with crewmates, or possibly any colonists who caught our eye, and made babies ourselves once the mission was complete. But no sooner. We couldn't afford to waste time raising kids while running a starship. So, when we turned 14, gamete samples from each one of us were taken and placed into storage. And our plumbing was surgically modified so that those samples were the only way we could ever reproduce. Our ship was ready to depart for the star system designated Epsilon Indy a couple years after that. I remember watching my parents wave goodbye over the monitor that displayed a video stream transmitted by radio from the Alice habitat as the nuclear fusion propulsion system kicked in. I think back to that moment now and have to remind myself that whatever radio waves brought the doom upon us all were transmitted long before that fateful day.